that comes from Noga.
Kum Lenin a block Gemara. We're up to the Ayin Zayin Amar Aleph Masechta Chulin. Okay, so we had a machlekes Rabbi Yechanan the Shlokish, where Rabbi Yechanan says that the gidin that are tender right now are treated. What do you call it? That you can count them as a carbon Pesach. You can because right now they're tender. It doesn't matter what happens in the future. And what do you call it? And the Rish Lakish says that you look at it in the future. Says the Gemara. And then when Rabbi saw a chicken, he said, "You know what do we?" And he saw these tender, what do you call it, things, and he passed it right away. You're allowed to eat it. What are you worried about? And the Gemara said, "What are you worried about?" First of all, the Shlokish argues. Rabbi Yechon, the Shlokish says, "Yeah, the Shlokish says that it's treated like it's already tough." So, and second of all is what do you call it? The Tater is worried about the Mamonish Yisrael. So you have to always be Mekel. This is a general rule, by the way, that you have to always be Mekel. If you can be Mekel, you have to always be Mekel. Right? So the Gemara says that Rabbi Yechanan changed his mind. Rabbi Yechanan changed his mind, agreed with the Shlokish that the sign you whatever, if they're eventually going to get tough, they already have a din like they are tough. How do I know that? So the Gemara, this is where we stopped yesterday. Yeah, but what's the reason? He gives right here. Toyda chosam minus Yisrael. So therefore, you shouldn't some paskas belt. We even had a Rashi a month ago where Rashi says that if a rov knows that it's mutter, even though the rov of that city says also, you have a chiyuv to say that it's mutter because you have to save yiddish geld. Maybe Rashi gets it from here. Says the Gemara, Hodebed Rav Yechon Gabed Shlokish, Shani Hocher, Rav Yechon changed his mind, Gabed Shlokish, he agrees that you look at the future, Dombele Al Taknitaini, he talks about over here, we're talking about the head of a calf, the skin of the head of a calf, is it become, you know, food, meat becomes tummy, what about the skin? Or does it become tummy or not? And Rav Yechon said, it does not become tummy, because eventually the skin is very thick and it's not food. So Rabbi Yechon himself said, eventually, you look at the future. Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yechon a question from a Mishnah, and Rish said, don't ask me a question where it says that the oil is just like the basa. And Rabbi Yechon asked a question because I believe that Mishnah das yachid. So see, clearly he changed his whole view, and he agrees that something in Soifel HaHakshas is already treated as if it's already tough. Says the Gemara, and there was a case where a bone broke, and it stuck out, but we had before that if a bone broke and sticking out, if most of the meat, if most of the bone's circumference is surrounded by flesh, it's good. And the skin as well, we had a discussion yesterday. But here, instead of sticking, it broke off. The part of the bone sticking out broke off. Also came with a bayah, it came for a bayah. Now this is very interesting, this little piece of the Gemara, yeah? You very seldom find this. Shehiya tlosa riglis, a bayah waited three times to consult others. He didn't have an answer. When was a bayah ever stuck for words? They had to wait, but it preserved it. It was a general shaila. What happens if it's a? He said, "This one I can't help you." But anyhow, Abai didn't have an answer. He was struck. He was stuck for words. This is a good question. You want a good question? You have to go to a shar for a guy. You know, sharp, not a buyer. Zil kame de rova. The famous Rav in Shas is the son of Rabbi Yisrael, son of Chama. This is the one who always argues about you. The Charifa Sakini, he's a sharp one. So Rashi teaches Charifa Sakini means that he has an open heart for Svaris. He's a Baal Svara. Charifa Sakini means sharp.
Sharp knife.
Yeah, he's a sharp for Hitler, as they say in English. Imagine, so Abaye didn't have an answer, and they say, go on somewhere sharp, go to Rav. And also coming in for Rava, Amar, he said, Rava said, Mechti, let's see. Nishberetz, in the Mishnah, said, the bone broke, we have stuck outside, tonight we learned. Mali Neif, Mali Isa, what's the chilik, the part of the bone sticking out fell down, or is still hanging in there, what's the difference? The same thing, if most of the circumference is covered by meat, it's good or not. Amar, Leir, Avin, Leir, Rava, we have a number of questions for you. Number one is, Mislake, Ma, what about, if it has to be a Rebosa, what about the Rebosa is not in one place, a little bit here, a little bit there, what's it in? Misroi says, Mahu, what happens is very, very thin, the meat that's around the bone. Mismas mismas would rot it away. Hechidami mismas, when you rot it away. Generally, a doctor would see that, he would peel it away. So is that considered flesh around the bone or not? Iboilu, another question. Nikiv, if whatever, there's punctures in the meat, that flesh that goes around the bone. Niklif mahu, what about if it was peeled off from the bone? The meat that goes around the bone was peeled off. It's still there, but it's not attached to the bone. Nizdik mahu, what about if there's a crack, a fissure down the length of the meat? Nitl shlisha tachten mahu, what about...
Is it in the flesh or on the bone?
The flesh. The cover around the bone has this long crack. Is that considered wrapped around the bone or not? Or nitl shlisha tachten, the thickness of the meat, let's say, was 1 inch, and now a third of that went missing, the closest part to the bone, and the other two-thirds like suspended in the air. Mao, what's the din? Tosh ma, coming in, amru lamar v'yechanan, oid areyu kibbasar. Oid, I'll answer you at least one question. Oid is considered like flesh, so therefore, now if oid is like flesh, that means, even though the oid is so far away from the bone, it's still considered like flesh that's surrounding the bone. So too with the meat. A third, the closest third to the bone is missing, but a two-thirds removed from the bone is there. That's good enough. So there was no raya. Dilma de kone mashcha didei. That's talking about down low in the foot where there is no flesh between the skin and the bone. So the skin taka wraps around the bone. That's why oida hadekib sari. My question is, where there was basa initially and part of it is removed, what happens then? He asked the following question. What about nigdid? You cut around the meat with a knife around this broken part, in this like a ring, a circumference of a ring, meaning tabas. Most of the bone is covered by meat, but you have a ring around it, which is cut out of meat. Mao, what's the din in that case over there? what's in that case? Is that considered roiv, still roiv, heck if or not? The majority is covered, but you have one full circumference of missing meat around the bone. What's it in the Upashatna? And he resolved it from Rabbi Yudhavanav. He said, I once asked the rabbis, the doctors, but Omer said the following. If you cut the ring out using another bone, then that's going to make a lot of blood, and the blood is eventually going to congeal and it's going to heal. It'll grow back. That's the difference. Kosher. Our parzla, if you use a knife, is mezev zariv. You destroy it and it doesn't grow back. But a papa v'huda kana garma didei. We're talking about only if the bone is attached to the rest of the meat around it. So therefore, if we see a little bit of meat creeping into the bone from that hole, that tells us that it's growing back. So the garma is a bone. So you see a little bit of the meat growing back, then we can assume that it's going to grow back altogether. Otherwise, no. Mishnah. The last Mishnah in Behema Mekasha. We start a new page tomorrow. Hasheichet es HaBehema. What happened? We're going back now to Shilya. Somebody shecht a Behema Motzva. He found this Shilya. He found there a sack. And it was empty. So the din is nefesh hayofa, interesting expression. A guy who doesn't really, usually nefesh hayofa means a guy who's an istinis, a guy who's so particular. Here nefesh hayofa means a guy, he's carefree, free-spirited. If it doesn't bother him, techlena, go ahead, and eat it. Like Rashi says, she'ein daita kotzaba.
He disgusted so easily.
Yeah, nefesh hayofa means a breita.
It's interesting, it's the opposite of how we normally use the expression.
Exactly. His nefesh hayofa techlene goes ahead and eats it, and we don't say that maybe you're eating an eva menachai, because we say everything inside the animal is kosher. Remember, we had just like you found a calf inside, you found a shilya inside, it's kosher. The ena metame, but it's not really food. Talking about there's nothing inside, it's not really food. So therefore, it's metame like tumas oichling, it's not food. The light tumas avela, nor does it have a tumas avela. The behemoth dies because it's not food. The avela is only the animal part. It's not food. Okay, what about chishav aleh? You decided you want to eat it, so you sort of turn it into food. So metame tumas oichlin. So now we will contract tumah if it touches some tummy. Or for desling, have a light tumas nevelas. Why? Because at the end of the day, it might be food, but flesh it isn't. Nevelas only is by flesh. The animal dies; every part of the flesh is nevela, but it's not flesh. Shilya. Now, what about for shilya? Remember, we learned before.
If one person can turn it into eichel if he
for himself. No, it's not for everybody; just for the person himself. against the balabos. If the balabos of that thing says, I want it to be food, it becomes food for tummy for everybody.
If you find an animal bone with no flesh on it, it's old, dried out, but it's not tumas nevela, is it?
No, well, singing murder is not nevela by bones, hooves, horns, extraneous parts, exactly. Says the Mishnah Vayta, what about shilya? We had before that if a baby sticks its head out of the thing, it's no longer included in the animal shchita, even puts it back in. If the head goes out, or rave of the body. You found a shilya, but we're going to assume that every shilya had in it a baby calf. Why would there be this sack? The sack is created because there's a baby. Every sack has a baby. You don't see it anymore. It must have disintegrated. Now, since part of it went out, how do you know that the part that disintegrated didn't have a head in it? So it could be, therefore, that strafe. Or most of it was in that little section, or the head was there. So shilya shiyotasa miktsasa asur bachila. Shilya, part of it went out, is asur bachila. Why is it asur bachila? Because maybe the part that was, even though it was only a part of the shilya, maybe the head was there, and that's the part that disintegrated. Simen vlad b'isha v'sim vlad b'hema. To us, a shilya is a sign that there was a vlad there. Why else would there be a shilya? Okay, hamevakeres, an animal is giving birth to the firstborn, right to the peterechem. She pila shilya mapil, they miscarried, and a shilya came out. Now we don't know what's inside the shilya. Now there's two. If it's a male, it's a pchayr. If it's a female, it's no pchayr. So it's 50-50, right? But there's another thing. Sometimes it's nothing. Sometimes it's just an empty sack of blood, and it's not a form of a human yet. Or, I'm sorry, not a form of an animal yet. So the majority of the cases, the roiv instances, are that it's not a b'chayr. So hence, yashtechen al klavim. It's not a b'chayr, no kodesh there. You can toss it away and throw it to the dogs. But if mukdoshi, not a b'chayr, it's not a carbon. Now by a carbon, it was a shilya. Tikov, you have to bury it. Why? Because whether it's a male or whether it's a female, kabbonis can also be females. So it's still kaidish. Shlamim could be a male or a female. The only possibility is that in the shilya there was never a form. That's the minority. So the majority is that it's probably kaidish. So you got to bury it. The ain kaivrin oisa, do not bury the precious rochim on a crossroad. Or the ain toilin oisa vil, nor do you hang it on a tree. The goyim, they had this superstition that if you hang it on the tree or if you put it on a crossroad, it's some kind of an omen, good omen. That you're not allowed to do because we're not allowed to follow the way of the goyim. And Rashi learns later on the reason you're not allowed to follow the way of the goyim is because it looks like kishif, which is interesting. Because dark and mighty is also because the Torah said, let's say, you know, things which don't make sense. We'll see in the Gemara later. Says the Gemara, how do you know? How do you know the shilya inside the behemoth? That's what we learned. Called behemoth, we had it before. It's called behemoth, toichlu. So we dash in the rabbis is the shilya. That even the shilya you're allowed to eat, because it says kol. It says kol behema. So anything behema by behema, anything inside the behema you're allowed to eat. We had two answers to the Gemara before, either because it says kol behema or it says behema by behema. The second answer was kol behema. We seem to like that answer better. Yochla would have thought that filu yotze miktasa. So I would have thought that even a little bit came out. You can also eat tamalayme. Could we just said if a little bit came out, you're not allowed to because maybe the head is inside there. But maybe you can eat the whole thing. Tamalayma comes to tell you, Oisa, it says, Oisa, eat that. Eat the animal, and not what? Oisa, don't eat the sack. So in other words, when it's inside the animal, you can eat it. When it's outside the animal, you cannot eat the part that's outside the animal. Merdi ain't shulya below vlad, since every vlad shulya has a vlad, so it's common sense. We know the reason why you can't have a shulya is because there's possibilities of vlad there. What do you need a pasuk for? Lamali kovri a pasuk, and what's a yirayit? Kros machta ba'al yur. The pro is only on a smachta, it's real for another drasha. And we used before the pasuk before that if you carve out part of the spleen or the kidneys of the animal, oish the chayla is only if it's a separate part inside of the animal, but not parts of the animal itself that you cut up. Yeah. This shilya is not food. It's not metame. But I have a question. What about oil chamor, the hide of a donkey, shishoku, you cooked it. You cooked the hide of a donkey to make it edible. If you cook it long enough, maybe it's edible. Mau. What would it then be then? What am I? What are you asking for? Ilutumus oichlin. Are you asking that now is it treated like food and therefore if it touches tame, it becomes tame? Tanina. If you're asking whether it now is considered meat, and it becomes tamei nevela. If the animal dies, that this is nevela, tanina will learn that as well. Let's go through it. Tumas oichel. Where did we learn tumas oichel? Tanya, in the brayse ha'oy v'hashilya, the skin or the shilya ain't mitamei tumas oichel. It's not food, and if it can't touch a tamei, it doesn't become tamei. Oy shesholku. But if you take the skin and you cook it up. The hashilia or the shilia shechishav aleo. You thought about maybe I'll eat it, so you turn both of them into food. You turn the skin into food, and you turn this into food. Metam betumas eichlin. So it's clear if you cook skin and you make it edible, it's considered food.
Why are we using the chamer as an example?
Oh, you're still seeing him in a minute. Very good. You're seeing him in a minute. Talk about tumah, not eating it, but if it touches tumah and you touch it, it doesn't become tummy. What? You see him. That's question number one. What's your question? Number two, regarding the veil is Nami, Tanim will learn it as well. It says in the Pasuk, if the behemoth dies, that is for you to eat. If you touch the nevela, you become, if you touch the nevela, you become tummy. Why does it say you touch the nevela? If you just said the animal died, then if losa only if you touch the meat part, but not if you touch the skin part, there's no nevela on the skin. The lay bat summer is no nevela by the bones. The lay begidin is no nevela by the nerves or the sinews. The lay bekanaim nor in the horns. The lay betalfaim nor in the hooves. Answer your question. So why taka do you need? Yeah. The lay nitzcha we're talking about over here. All of these things is obvious. It's not nevela. It's not basa. What do you need a pasuk for? The chiddush here is that even though she'asan tzikek deida, you made it the geshmak part of a cooked food. In other words, you cooked it a long time and you maybe put some seasoning on it. Then what? It does not become a nevela. So when the previous brayse we learned, when if you think about food, it becomes like food, but it does not become like nevela. So what's your question? So he says, I'll tell you my question. My question was not about nevela. That's clear. My question was regarding tumas oichel. And normally, if you cook skin, and it becomes like food. But my question was, dafke by a donkey, because its hide is so thick, and maybe no matter how long you cook it, it never becomes food. La'elam tumas oichel. The shiny oil chamoy de moyes, but maybe the oil of a chamoy is different because it's miyas.
My question was still cautious.
No, but that's about eating it. I'm talking about while you're cooking it, I don't know, maybe you can make some nice shoes out of it
the
or something.
The discussion is you made the shulk and you made it.
No, if you touch it. Yeah, true. But if you cook it, it's not machshava. That's machshava. But if you're cooking it, maybe it's tender and therefore if it touches something tummy, it becomes tummy. Als tumme, not als eating it. Yeah. Because it's me, it's therefore maybe it never comes food. A shilya that came out. Comes along Rabbi Loza and makes the following comment. What happened is there was a shilya and then you found the baby calf inside the stomach. Do we assume that this baby calf used to be inside this shilya and it popped out? So therefore, there's only one child there, and the shilya definitely is all right because the calf is still inside the mother's womb. Or do we say perhaps no? Maybe they were twins. This shilya had its own baby calf, which disappeared. It's disintegrated. So we got a problem because it's sitting inside the shilya. All that blood you see inside and all that water—that's all really a dismembered or a disintegrated animal. And that calf inside had its own shilya that the shilya got disintegrated and came out from the animal, and defecated. So therefore, the shaylag is Amar Blaze Loishanu. When do we say all of this that we assume that the vlad is inside the shilya elisha ain't ima vlad? No other vlad inside the animal's womb. So we must say that this shilya had the vlad inside, disintegrated, and you cannot eat it. Avol yesh ima vlad. If you see another vlad inside the animal, in choishel varacha, we're going to be mekel. We're going to assume that the vlad inside the animal came from this shilya. So this shilya can be eaten now because there's no vlad inside the shilya. You can eat it. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Yechon Amar. There's 1 second. There's what's here, the hay here. Yeah. Avol yesh im avlad ein chayshon la'achad. Rabbi Yechon says, "Bein ein ima vlad. Ben yesh ima vlad. I don't care, there's another vlad. Even if you see another vlad inside the mother's womb, maybe this is philosophic. Maybe this shulia had its own vlad. Maybe they were twins. That vlad there had a separate shulia. This shulia had its own vlad. What was machmir? And therefore, you cannot eat the shulia. You can maybe the vlad inside. So you're saying Rabbi Yechiel is more machmir than Blazer. Ain't it's not so? But Rabbi said lechumra amra Blazer that he's being machmir. You're more machmir than Rabbi Yechiel. But you're saying it for Kedi's Michael. He's saying there's a vlad inside. Everything is dandy. Everything is all right. Ela eat marach idma. Hachidma amra Blazer loishanu. When is it talking about Ela she ainuk shur b'vlad? Blazer said. When is it talking about that you're not allowed to eat the shilya if it's not tied to a vlad? In other words, that if it's not tied to a vlad, there's a vlad inside the behemoth, there's a shilya that came out, then we are worried that you're not allowed to eat the shilya came out, because maybe there was a twin. Av kshura b'vlad. Yeah. But if it's connected, if it's connected, then we're not worried that there was another vlad. Then we'll attribute the vlad inside to the shilya, and no problem. However, Rabbi Yechonah, Master of Laws, is pretty machmana. Rabbi Yechonah says, "Anu ein lanu, we have a rule, el shilya blevad." When do we say this rule? Only if there's no vlad at all inside the animal, and we see a shilya, we're going to say probably there was a vlad inside the shilya. If it disintegrates, you're not allowed to eat it. Avol yesh im a vlad. If there was a vlad, another vlad. Whether kshurah b'vlad, even if ain't kshurah b'vlad, even if it's not tied to the vlad, we're going to assume that we attribute that vlad to the shilya and ain't choshen l'vlad achar. So Rabbi Yechaz b'meikul. I know Rabbi Yechaz l'chumra am Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Lezer b'machmer. We more tanya kavos Rabbi Lezer. We talk look Rabbi Lezer that if there's that if it's not tied to the shilya, we're always machmer. We learned that Rabbi Lezer ha'apelus min behema chayva, if a human gave birth to something that looks like a creature. Vishilya iman, and there's a shilya there as well. Is a bisman shik shura behen. If it's tied to them, then we'll assume the shilya is one of those. In chayish of that way, there was another human, and she has to sit in the tomb and all that. Einuk shura behen. If it's not tied, hareini matla chaymish nevlad. If it's not tied, we're saying the shilya had its own vlad, and then you had this, and we don't know what the vlad of the shilya is, whether it's a zoch or a keva, so you have to sit tumah 14 days like in a keva, but we're not going to give you any meitara because it could be there was no vlad. So there's 33 days meitara. The way the trader says, if you give birth 7 days by a boy is tameh, and the next 33 days, no matter what blood she sees, she's tired. By a girl, the first 14 days is tameh, and the next 66 days, no matter what blood she sees, she's tired. That's cooler. Of the next 66 days, we're not going to give this person, because maybe the shilya did not have a vlad, and it had that. So what do we see from here? That this braisa says that if it's tied, that's the only time we say that this connection between the shilya and the vlad, whatever's inside. But if there's no tie, even though you see living creatures inside and the shilya is separate, we're going to say maybe the shilya had its own. If it's a twin, that's like Rabbi Lozer. That's Rabbi Lozer who's more machmir. Maybe he gave birth to a human, maybe he gave birth to one of these. On the one hand, I say maybe there was another vlad inside the shilya and it's integrated. And maybe the other shilya that was surrounding the bird, whatever it is, disintegrated as well. The firstborn was a shilya. So what we say is that by a b'chor you can just toss it away. My timer, why? By kachim you have to bury, but b'chor you toss it away. Why? Most behemoths give birth to a child, to a calf, a baby calf, let's say, a baby sheep, right? Not just something that has no form. But a few of them give birth to something which does not have a form of an animal. And that's number one. And then nidma. It's only a nidma, it looks like something else. That doesn't look like a child, a baby calf or a baby sheep. Number one. Number two, so let's say that's 2%. So it leaves you 98%. The chol hal yeldes yeldes machzes chori machzes kevah. The rule is whoever gives birth machzes chori machzes kevah. So 98% comes 40. So 49% is a boy, which is a pchor, but 49% is a girl. If you take the 2% and you add it to the 49, now you suddenly have 51% chances that it's not a pchor. Smoich miyuta the nidma le machzes in the kevah. So add that miyut of nidma to the machzes of the kevah. And what do you have? Hal es chori miyuta. This chori is a miyut. with Mikdash to cover. Nidman doesn't only mean it has no form at all. Nidman means it looks like another animal. A sheep gives birth to, it looks like a calf or a goat. That's called Nidman. So that's, it does not have a din of a b'chayr. A learning b'chayr doesn't have a din of a b'chayr. Well, Mikdash, to go Mikdash, you bury my time, Ruba bar Mikdash, because by Kodesh, whether it's a male, whether it's a female, it's still a carbon. So you have 2% chance that it's Nidman. So 98% chance that it's a carbon. That's why you have to bury it. Then we said, then Kaivan, so don't go ahead. This shilya, don't bury or hang on a tree. Why? Because we don't want to follow dark emoji. Says the Gemara, if the taka has therapeutic purposes, then aim is like a mighty. If a goy gives it to you, so what? That's not, I'm not following a goy blindly. It makes sense. Dark emoji is only if it's a chok. It makes absolutely no sense. It's a superstition or something. Why are you doing it? Because that is forbidden. But if it makes sense, then I'm not doing it because I'm doing it for the same sort of they're doing it. Because it's therapeutic. What about... But anybody before, if it doesn't make sense, there's nothing therapeutic about it. So why are you doing it? Because the goyim do it. Yes, that's called darkei moedi. That's called darkei moedi. You didn't like to imitate the goyim, that's called darkei moedi. The Gemara of Tanya, we learned, Elon Shemashit Peirosav, a tree that's so heavy, a tree that is so heavy that its fruits keep on falling down. It's full of, you know, full of sap or something, too much sap, and therefore the fruits keep on falling, they keep on falling down. What do you do is soikre besikre, you make a red mark on it. Look at Rashi, ain't by Mishum Rufur. Sorry, before you get that, yes, by Mishum Rufur, interesting Rashi. Anything you do therapeutic, look what Rashi says here. Anything you do, Gagoyim do, but they do because it makes sense medicinally wise, you do it. For example, Kigoyim mashke, medicine, oisam, like a poison, but a good poison. Oilachash, an incantation, shalecha shalamaka. Rashi holds that there is therapeutic thing when you talk. Amazing Rashi. So if you make a lachash, which normally we say, you know, a lachash is something which is superstitious or whatever it is. But if you're doing it, goyim doing, saying these words, abracadabra, whatever it is, and you're doing it, could be works. Then he says, it doesn't make a difference. It's a principle.
You see, a shepherd has certain things that he says to the sheep to calm them or to make them go into the
paddock. We're talking about a refuah, a sickness.
Sick sheep,
that's a psychological problem. This is a...
I'm not a shepherd.
Maybe, okay. But shaleichish al hamaka, you'll call that a maka? I don't know, okay. But aim my mission refuah, but if there's no medicinal purpose, then I'll do it, says Rashi. Ki goin sha'oisin shaloi ala choyli. You don't do it for any sickness. Going kavuras shalay beprashas dochim shilya beprashas dochim. You want to bury them in the court, you know what the Mishnah says, on a fork. Ukiyates them shedoymin lenichush. It looks like magic. The problem of darkei moedi Rashi is because of magic, not because it says a teira b'chukoy say hem loyselechu. Peldig Rashi. Both Rashi's need a lot of.
This Rashi here in the Mishnah says,
"Veloy
sasek
masayim." That's right, exactly. That's what we're going. Here, Rashi gives us a svara now. What's wrong with doing masayim? The doymin lenechush. Looks like there's a different kind of magic, which is needs further examination. Further examination. Okay. Says the Gemara Baita, so Elon a tree shemashi peroisav. So the way that Rabbi Geisha learns is that the fruits stay over time; they just don't fall off the tree, and until they break the branches. So the way that Rabbi Geisha learns, not that the fruits like others learn, that you know so much sap in the tree and the fruits keep on falling down. The problem here is the fruits don't fall down, so eventually they get very big and they weigh down, and the branches, not the pedis, but the even though the Gemara says Shemashi Peresev, he learns that the branches are breaking. So what do you do? Soikir b'sikir, you make a red mark, and the toine b'avonim, you put stones on the tree, I guess on the fruit. So it forces the fruit from the weight of the stone to fall down. Okay, bishleim toine b'avonim, it makes sense. Toine b'avonim kehecha the nikhish chelei. So the way that Rabbi Geisha learns is that you want it. The tree should get weaker, so the fruits fall down earlier. But Rashi learns, you look at Rashi, Shemaroiv Shem Noihu Mashinun. So Rashi learns the problem is too much sap in the tree. But because of it weakens the tree, it takes out some of the sap, whatever the stone somehow or another weakens the tree, so therefore the sap runs out, the fruits will fall down. Elo Soikir Basikra, why are you allowed to make this red mark? That sounds like superstitious stuff. Kehecha de lech ze inish. It's a very interesting thing. You know why you make a big mark? You want people to see v'leboy rachmelei. You want people to daven for you. And we had in the Gemara before, Kedatanya, we learned in a few places.
We're still talking about a tree here? We're talking about a person.
Talking about a tree here. That's a chiddush here.
You want,
you, for now on WhatsApp, you start sending a not that this person is going on an operation, say a capital tillum. My tree's fruits are not falling down. A capital tillum, please. And it says here, and it's a good thing to get more people involved. Kedatanya, remember the braisa. It says in the pasuk, somebody has a tzaras. So he covers his mouth and all that. The Tomei Yikra, we pronounce he's Tomei. Why is it twice Tomei? Says the Gemara, it's Sorich Lohaydiya Lerabim, that the Tomei person himself screams out, I am Tomei, in public. Sorich Lohaydiya Lerabim, you need the world to know. Why? Because the Rabbi Mevakshim Olav Rachim. So then he just won't be the only one saying Kapitel Tillim. He'll have all these other people davening as well. The Chain Misha Ida by Dover, if anything happens to you, an Umglik, happens to a person, don't keep it to yourself. Tell everybody. Why? Because the Rabbi Mevakshim Olav Rachim. The Rabbi will daven for you. And they daven for you. And it's a good thing. And interesting, as you just pointed out, and with Sachakul talking about, you know, your financial problems. Or your trees are having problems. Also ask people to say to them with you. So who is it that says that we should put out our things to hang? So we put, let's say, dates or something hanging on the branches on a tree. So that people will see. You hang a whole thing full of little nuts on the tree. People wonder what's going on there. They'll realize something wrong with the tree. It's a sick tree. And you need to take a picture to heal them. Why? You want people to see that they'll daven for you. Publicize your problems so people will have sympathy and daven for you.
Yeah.